Joining us on the line, representing the 14th Legislative District, Yakima area, Senator Curtis King. Senator King, good afternoon to you. Thank you for your time. We appreciate it.
Well, thank you for the opportunity. It's great to be here.
Senator King, you're the ranking member on the Transportation Committee, and we know there's been a little bit of discussion about increasing funding sources for that particular committee. Of course, not necessarily to the approval of many Washingtonians. Talk to us a little bit about the transportation situation in Washington State, because we know there are a lot of projects that are out there. We know a lot of them that have been stalled. We also know there's only one dedicated revenue source for transportation, but yet we keep hearing over and over again all this money that's going to go towards transportation. So tell us a little bit about our situation right now with transportation in the state.
Well, right now, transportation is hurting and substantially because we rely on the gas tax, we rely on tolling revenues, we rely on ferry ridership, all of those things in regards to how we fund our highways and our bridges and you know, even transit. So as you can imagine, during COVID, there was substantially less driving. Therefore, the gas tax revenues are down probably 40 or 50%. You look at the ferry ridership, it's down. It's been down as low as 30 or 40%. The cars that travel on our ferries are down about 40 to 50%. So all of that is revenue that is not being generated. And then you look at the tolling. So over on the west side, we have what are called hot lanes, which is high occupancy transportation lanes. And in a lot of cases, on 167 and 405, those are toll. And that revenue is down probably 30 to 40%. But in addition to that, we toll the 520 bridge. We toll the Tacoma Narrows Bridge. And the new tunnel on 99, the board tunnel, we toll that as well. Well, all those revenues for those three entities are down substantially. And they're down to the point where it's not generating enough income to pay the bonds that we issued to pay for those three projects. And so when you look at gas tax, tolling revenue, ferry ridership, our revenues for transportation are just, you know, really, really low, way beyond where we would have anticipated them being. And so we have a struggle as to how are we going to fund the things that we have to fund. I could go on. We can look at, we are under a court order to fix culverts that impact salmon and their spawning and all of that, and that's about a $3 billion responsibility that it started out at 1.9, and then all of a sudden it went to 3.8 billion. We spent about $800 million, so we have about a $3 billion bogey there that we got to try and find the funding for to meet a court order after we were sued by I think 7 or 8 of the Indian tribes. So that's kind of a quick synopsis of where we are in transportation.
We're talking with Senator Curtis King from the 14th Legislative District here on the Bottom Line News Radio 610 KONA. Senator King, we don't have to worry about the culverts. We'll just tear the dams down. That'll take care of the salmon. No issue there. And yes, tongue in cheek, of course. But the troubling thing, especially for many, and I'm sure you've heard this in your district, is it seems the Democrats' way to approach solving this problem is we'll just throw more taxes onto gas, even though we're not saying that this low carbon fuel standard is going to go into the transportation fund, or we'll say it will, but we can't guarantee that it will because it's not subject to the same amendment that the gas tax is. So what are some alternatives that Republicans are talking about to help with the transportation situation that is not going to wind up negatively impacting low-income middle-class families with up to potentially another dollar per gallon on the gas tax.
Right. So let me just say, low-carbon fuel standards does not generate any money. It is strictly punitive. So it requires the refineries to meet certain standards in regards to how their fuel is burnt and the carbon emissions off of that. California has it. They can't meet their standards. Ours is twice as strict as at least what the proposal is twice what California's is. But it generates no income. It just raises the price of gas. That's all it does. Makes it harder to produce the fuel, makes the price go up, and we get to pay it. But there's no generated income off of that. So in regards to your question, yeah, they're looking at not only they're looking at either a low carbon fuel standard or cap and trade or a carbon tax. All of the cap and trade and the carbon tax do generate some income, but there's no guarantee that they're going to go to transportation. In addition to that, there's proposals to raise the gas tax as high as 18% more. And one proposal not only to raise it 18 cents per gallon, but also then index it to inflation, which over the next 16 years would probably raise it another 10 cents. In addition to that, there's a proposal that says, well, when you buy a new car, you have to pay what we project to be the emissions coming off of that car over the life of that car. And they want to tell us that average is somewhere around $253. But if you buy a pickup and the pickup gets 10 or 12 miles per gallon, it's probably going to be in the neighborhood of $1,000 to $1,200. So these are all proposals that I say are punitive. There's a proposal from a Republican to say, well, the operating budget revenues are in good shape. The economy has been such, even with COVID, the economy has been perking along. And right now, the projection is that over the last biennium, this coming biennium, there'll be a 10% increase in the amount of revenue that's coming into the state. Well, the operating budget is like $54 billion. So a 10% increase is another $5 billion. Now, maybe it's 52, but it's somewhere in that ballpark. But it's another $5 billion. So why do you need to raise taxes? I think we need to look at how do we funnel some of those funds into transportation. We shouldn't be looking at putting more burden on the citizens of the state of Washington and our small businesses, because that's who's going to pay this. We shouldn't be doing that at a time when they've just been trying to survive, just barely hanging on. Individuals and businesses as well. We all know the predicament our businesses are in, particularly our small businesses. And this is just going to make it harder and harder for them to keep their doors open. So we got to look at alternatives. We got to look at sharing the wealth. And I think that's the way we get through this.
We're talking with Senator Curtis King from the 14th Legislative District here on the Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA. Senator King is the ranking member on the Transportation Committee, as well as the ranking member of the Labor, Commerce, and Tribal Affairs Committee. And maybe it's before we're done, Senator King might be able to answer a question I haven't been able to get an answer to yet.
Well, we'll hold that thought because there's been a lot of discussion, Senator, about the powers of the governor. The special sessions that weren't called, although our neighbors to the south in Oregon, they had a few of them to address some issues. Legislature was able to get involved in that process. You're a co-sponsor to a joint resolution that would amend the state constitution to allow for a 3/5 vote to kick off a special session by the legislature. I know a lot of people, certainly this side of the mountains, would be all for that. What are you hearing in Olympia? Is this something that might gain some traction and maybe even pick up support across the aisle?
Well, I think there are some members across the aisle that would be willing to support that. I think we have the ability right now to to, as a legislature, to come back. I'm not sure under the current statutes whether it's two-thirds or three-quarters, but either way, we, the Republican side of the aisle, has been pushing since June to have a special session so that we could address some of these issues. We've had a strict one-man control since March, so almost for a whole year, one person has been running the state under the fact that he's called an emergency. Well, the emergency is way behind us. Now it's a matter of how do we control this and what do we do to get it under control. That's not an emergency. The governor just won't back off of it because he likes the power that that has given him. And I think there's a chance that that we will get enough members on the other side of the aisle that we might be able to pare this back to something that's more reasonable, something where you can say, well, you can declare an emergency for 30 days. But after that, then you have to bring in the legislature to help take care of the challenge that presented the emergency.
Senator King, you've got 40 some odd bills that have your name attached to them, either as the prime or a co-sponsorship. And with, you know, all the different things that, you know, the headlines in Olympia, one bill in particular stuck out to me on two fronts. One was the subject matter, and the other was it was co-sponsored by Democrat Marco Leas, and that has to do with sports wagering in card rooms and racetracks. Now, obviously, not the priority this session, but an interesting bill nonetheless. Tell us about 5212.
Well, so last year, in 2020, a bill was passed without my support that gave sports wagering in totality to the Indian tribes. So that meant basically that the tribes would have 100% or very close to most of the gambling in the state of Washington. We have card rooms that are capable and should be able to handle sports wagering, and they ought to have that opportunity. They are well-paid jobs. They are family-wage jobs, and they are businesses that pay taxes to the state of Washington. They get licenses from the state of Washington. The tribes don't have to do that. They're a sovereign nation, all well and good. But we don't need to continue to give 100% of all of our gambling revenues to the tribes. And we've done that. And this bill just says, no, you need to give the card rooms the opportunity and the ability to have sports wagering in their facilities. We're not expanding it. It's under the current 43 card rooms. They are the only ones eligible. And I firmly believe that even if when this bill passes, the tribes are still going to get 80% of the business. If you look at their casinos and the size of their casinos, versus these small card rooms scattered around the state. But the card rooms generate great jobs, family wage jobs. They create income for local cities and counties, and they create, under this bill, they would create income for the state of Washington. Income that the Democrats would tell you is sorely needed. It's time that we did the right thing by the citizens of the state of Washington, and that would be to pass this bill and allow sports wagering in those card rooms.
And we're talking with Senator Curtis King, Republican from the 14th district, rather, here on The Bottom Line, News Radio 610 KONA.
You know, Senator, this is going to dovetail perfectly into the question that I've got for you, because it seems to me, and of course we know that sweet deal that exists with gambling with the tribes and the state of Washington, the sweet deal for the tribes, that is. But it seems to me over the last few years, every bill that we see that is, contains some type of a tax increase or some type of an assessment on residents of Washington State, money that's getting allotted, we're seeing hundreds of thousands of dollars in each of these going to the tribes. How much money are Washington State taxpayers giving to the tribes additionally annually on top of the gambling revenue that they save? And we don't hear about where any of this is going. We don't see where any of this is going. We're still hearing about education issues, healthcare issues. You know, we're still hearing about problems on tribal lands as far as a number of different things. But yet all this money is going into the tribes and they're a sovereign nation. So I guess to me, at what point in time do we start to question how much money is going, and why are we shelling out so many tax dollars of Washington State residents to a sovereign nation?
I have asked the same question. I wish I knew the answer, but I don't. I can give you a small example. The Yakimas, as an example, do not have a compact with the state of Washington in regards to gas and gas tax. The other tribes, for the most part, I think all of them, that have service stations or gas stations have a compact. It says that they are going to collect the gas tax at the same rate everybody else is going to collect it. They will then submit that to the state of Washington, but the state of Washington then will remit 3/4 of it back to them, and it's supposed to be used for highway purposes. That's what the compact said. I'm not sure that the tribes actually used that money in totality for what it was originally claimed. But the Yakimas, as an example, don't have that compact. So they are currently selling gas on the reservation. That's probably 20 or 30 cents a gallon cheaper than those that have to pay the gas tax. And it's probably costing the state of Washington about $20 million a year, because we have not, and the governor has not, tried to stop it or work out a reasonable solution. You know, it's a lot of money that we're losing out on. And what I would point out to every one of the citizens of the state of Washington, that when you go into those service stations and buy that gas, you're just making the price of or the tax on other things go up, because you're not paying the tax that everybody else has to pay. And I don't think that's fair. I don't think that's equitable.
Senator Curtis King from the 14th Legislative District in Yakima, we appreciate your time today, sir. Thank you for spending it as much with us as you did. And we know you've got a lot going on, so we appreciate you taking some of that time. And best of luck to you during the session. We look forward to talking to you again a little bit later down the line.
I'll look forward to it as well, and thank you for the opportunity.